Buffalo, New York, not knowing anything. And he came to the Mechina, where Rabbi Tendler accepted him because he saw in him, as he did in so many others, the potential to become special, the potential to become big. And he invited him to join the Mechina, and he started off in the Mechina. And through that, his younger brothers then followed suit and came to the Mechina. But even more than that, he developed a close relationship of Rabbi Tendler, the Hapim and Chaim and Chaim Rebbetzin. They developed a very special relationship with the Baruch's parents, Dr. and Mrs. Danziger, and created a warmth and a makar of them. They brought such a beautiful relationship into being. And Baruch became a close Talmud, the one by him. He gained from him, he spent time with him. His shidduch came through him, and he kept up his relationship with him. He was his meyayitz all the years that Rabbi Tendler was alive. And therefore, it gives us great pleasure to hear Divrei Hisoyrus and Sichronus from Rabbi Baruch Tendler.
Dor Shiva, Mashkiya, Manal, and Anhala. Shortly after the Ptira of Meir Verebi, Rav Yosef Tendler, Zechutzadik Livrocha, I had the opportunity to share some of my thoughts with fellow Talmidim in Eretz Yisrael. As I sat down to formulate my thoughts for this evening, I realized that speaking to a group of Bachrim who were not Talmidim presented a very different challenge. There's a lot to be said about the greatness of Rav Tendler as an Eved Hashem, and a lot to be said about his greatness as a Machane. What I would like to share, though, is what we as Talmidim got from him. It's much easier for a fellow Talmid whose life was also deeply changed by that chinuch to appreciate those points. But something else bothered me even more. I asked myself, what's the point? We had the Gevaldik Eschus to be shaped and guided by Rav Tendler. How is that relevant to the Talmidim of the Mechina today? When I thought about it, I realized that the truth is that you all really do have so much from him. And even more important than knowing that is for you to know what it is that you have from him. I heard B'Shem, the Shiva Zatzal Rav Ruderman, said over Agoyes HaShri in Bav Metzia. Agoyes HaShri talks about a case where Ayid Ruvain bought a block of tin and he sold it to Shimon, and Shimon discovered that it's not really tin, it's solid silver that was coated with tin. And Rishonim Paskin, that since Ruvain didn't know it was there and he didn't have das to be koinat, didn't have a kinyan, and it belongs to Shimon. The Rishiva Zatzal saw in that a Musar Haskel. So if you don't appreciate the Schia that you have to learn Torah, if you don't appreciate what you have, you can't have a Kenyan in it. If you want to grow and change and become a bigger person, you have to know and understand what it is you're growing in. The only way to chap a rind and get what you can from your years in Mechina is if you appreciate what a Gevaldik Eschus it is to learn in this space medrash and to have the rabbeim that you have. And you have to know what it is that they're sharing with you. By understanding what Rav Tendler built here together with his shutfin and hala, I think you can gain a better appreciation of what you're able to accomplish in these precious years. And to understand the godless of the Mechina, I think it helps to have a historical perspective. The Lakewood Mashgiach, Zalzayin Gesund, from Matisseo Salomon, discussed Rav Aaron Kuppler's role in building Torah in America. He described the last days of Rav Chaim Oizer's life outside of Vilna, where thousands of Yidden fleeing the Germans had found temporary refuge. Between bouts of exhaustion, the Gadol Hadar answered the difficult shilas of the Klal and the Prat. And the last shila he was able to answer before his Ptira was Azar. There were a few visas available to escape Europe. And the question presented was, do we give them to the young with many years ahead of them, or do we give them to older, more mature adults? And Chaim Moshe responded, Chazal say, Binyan Yeladim Stira, Stira Sekenim Binyan. Klal Yisrael, he said, is facing a churban. And in order to rebuild, we'll need Sekenim. The way I understand the way Ratzio was touching the Chazal, is that even when the young try to build, without Chachma, it could be a churban. But a Chacham, not only can he build, is able to undo and to fix what was built improperly. Dr. Matisyo, people think that Baran's contribution to Torah in America, Habatzas Torah, starting the yeshiva and the shiurim, says there were others who could and did start yeshivas, and others who said shiurim and were marbits Torah. So Baran's contribution to Torah in America was this Stiras Kenim. In America at that time, it was a given that every bacher had to have a college education and a degree in order to succeed in life. Rav Aaron changed that perception. Through his chinuch and personal example, he was soister the assumptions of a dor. He was meroynem and completely transformed the whole surah of Torah in America. The greatest hope of a Rebbe can have for his talmidim is that they take the yesoidos that they receive from the Rebbe and apply them and build on them with their own koiches ha-nefesh. And as a close Talmud of Rav Aaron, Rav Tendler did just that. There was a time and a place that Yiddish kinder grew up protected from secular society. Their values and priorities were absorbed in homes and communities full of Torah and Kedusha. There was a time and a place that even if a boy was drawn to outside influences, the idea of leaving the community structure was too daunting. And if that wasn't enough, access to the world is pashut limited. All that has changed though. Particularly over the past several decades, the walls around our community have crumbled. Nothing is unacceptable. Nothing is inaccessible. Society is hefker. Teenagers in the most tumultuous years of their lives are exposed to so much that glitters and shines. Luxuries, entertainment, and leisure, and all of it at their fingertips. And we ask of them, at the ripe old age of 13, to forgo it all and apply themselves in the Beis Medrash hour after hour. It's geschmack, but long before it's geschmack, it's very hard. How can we compete? But there's a haftacha. And a little over half a century ago, Rav Tendler, then a young Magid Shir, took over a mechina in disarray. He was soiser al manas lignais bin kaimak. He challenged the values and priorities that boys had absorbed from newspapers and billboards, radio and television, and he built true b'nei Torah. In fact, when people would ask him for a bracha, he rarely offered more than that. You should be a big Ben Torah. And what did that mean to him? He would say that Ben is Miloshen Binyan. That a Ben Torah is someone who is built, shaped, and molded by the Torah HaKadosha. And through Rebbe's eyes, we saw the contrast of the beauty of a Torah Dika life and the emptiness of a life without Ruchniyah. The pasuk says in Mishlei, "V'ish lefi ma'aloloi," and the Rebbeinu Yonah teaches that you can understand the mahus, the essence of a person, by looking at what he praises in others. Rav Tendler said in his Hesped on Rav Weinberg's Zechutzanik Livracha, Shemach Sam Soifer, discussing the nusach of Havdalah. Rav Sam Soifer said that the Hevdel ben Kodesh l'choil and the Hevdel ben Yisrael l'amim has to be as clear and pronounced as the Hevdel Bein Or L'Choshech. He painted the complex world around us black and white. And through his shmuzin, his carefully directed one-liners, and his personal example, he opened our eyes to the Hashkafas HaTorah. His Gemara in Baba Basra He had the Yosef Breid of Yeshua Cholash Ingid. Yosef Breid of Yeshua got sick and he fainted. It seems he went to the Olam HaEmes. Amalei Avua, and then he came back. Amalei Avua Mechazis. So his father asked him, what did you see in the Olam HaEmes? Amalei Olam Hafuch Raisi. I saw an upside down world. El Yoinim Lamata, V'Tachtoinim Lamala. What people think is Chashiv in this world, there was garbage. What people are not Machshiv here, there was Chashiv. Amalei, so his father told him, Olam Borer Raisa. You saw a clear world, that's the real thing. We live in an Olam Hafuch. We grew up in a culture with values that are far, far from the Torah's values. Rebbe was able to show us an Olam Borer, and we allowed ourselves to see it, then we wanted to be Elyonim too. Rebbe didn't believe in taking Dafka the strongest buffer. He would say that the Mechina's goal was making the strongest buffer. He shared with us his outlook on yeshivas in our door as being a tevas noyach, shielding a relatively small group of yechidei skula from the mayim hazeitonim, the depraved, and even more so, the empty society around us. And he viewed the yeshiva as a hospital. And just as a hospital doesn't turn away a patient because he's sick, but takes him in and does everything he can to heal him, yeshiva's role is to nurse the Talmidim until they could appreciate the beauty of eternal life. This approach is reflected in a machshava that he would share with us b'shem Rav Pam in this week's parsha. Pasuk says, "Vayavo Yisroi chaysen Moshe vanav v'ishtoi al Moshe la midbar." That Yisroi came to Moshe in the midbar. Now she's bothered. We know Moshe's in the midbar. You have to tell me he came to Moshe in the midbar. Says Rashi, "Ala b'shivchoi shel Yisroi diber hakasim." The Torah is coming to say the praises of Yisroi. Shehaya yoshev b'chvoidei shelayla. He was at the top of the world. All the covet that there was. The nadvai liboi. Lotzei Salam Midbar, and he gave it all up to come out to the Midbar. Makom Toyu, Yishmoya Divrei Torah. He gave it all up, Yishmoya Divrei Torah. A few psukim later, Pasuk says, Vayisaber Moshe L'choisnai Yizkal Asher Asa Hashem L'farah L'Yisrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu took the time to go through in detail with Yisroel, all the Nisim and Niflois and the Yeshuas that the Eberspe did for Klal Yisrael, the Midbar and Yisrayim. And Rashi says, What's Moshe Rabbeinu's agenda? What's he coming to do? So Rashi, Nim Shoyches Liboy LeKarvoy LaTorah. Bring Yisrael close to Torah. Director Pam, a few psukim ago, he said he gave up everything. Yishmoya Divrei Torah. What kind of kiruv does he need? So Director Pam, that as long as Yisrael felt that he was giving something up, as long as he hadn't yet realized that what he left behind was empty, and nothing compared to a life of Ruchnius, there's something missing. Uri Zohar, a famous Israeli entertainer who was Chozer B'tshuva at the height of his fame and fortune, was once asked, who has more schar? Somebody from Mea Shearim that never really had any contact with the world outside, or somebody who was involved in everything and he gave it all up, Chozer B'tshuva. And he told them, the person from Mea Shearim, because he sees glimpses of the world and it's exciting and it looks attractive and he's misgaber and his yetzer and he resists temptation. So somebody who had it understands how hollow and empty and depressing it all is. But this approach took great faith in the potential of his talmidim, believing that a young bachur could absorb these ideas and be self-driven to become a true ben Torah is not a pashut azad. He believed in us and demanded as much. A friend of mine worked in Camp Maganav when he was just a 10th grader. With Tendler passed him sitting idly at a desk, and he mugged him. He said, why don't you have a sefer? So a 10th grader in summer camp should be learning in the middle of his working, in the middle of his job, when he had a few minutes here and there, he should be learning. When he graded his bechinas, he marked how many he got wrong. If you scored perfectly, you got a zero. And he explained. He felt that we were mature enough to focus on what we needed to work on. It also took incredible patience and vision. It's a source of frustration for any mechanech to watch Talmidim stumble and be immature and short-sighted.
But for someone with such a mabat emes that like a peddler had, it's hard to imagine how he could be soluble the things he had to deal with. Yet no one ever saw him grow the least bit frustrated. No one ever saw him lose his composure. That same mabat ha-emes allowed him to see even the faltering steps as bumps along the way to reaching the true potential that sometimes he was the only one to see. Perhaps the most central message that Rebbe conveyed to us was appreciating the value of life. He would say, b'shem l'chametz chayim, that people say time is money. He said it's so much more, time is life. He would point out that we tuck in our tzitzis around the mace because it's loiv l'rush for the mace to see us doing mitzvahs that he can't do. And he'd ask, why isn't it loiv l'rush to be alive? You're alive and he's not. And in his direct and powerful way, he'd say that without Torah and mitzvahs, the mace is better off than you are. He would point out that of all the brachas of Birchas HaShachar, specifically the bracha of Amavir Shena, that we go on with the tefillah, the Torah and mitzvahs. Because without Torah and mitzvahs, there's no reason to be grateful for getting up in the morning. Rabbi Shiva, Rabbi Yaakov Friedman, one of Rabbi Teller's illustrious sons-in-law, pointed out that it's rare to find children who view their father as their Rebbe. There's a lot of reasons for that. But one of the reasons is that while a Rebbe can and should provide a gemus, a living example of how a ben Torah should look, a child sees a parent constantly, in the privacy of his own home and in the most trying circumstances. And sometimes we fail to live up completely to the standards that we strive for. But Rebbe Teller was perfectly consistent and he lived everything he shared with us. And this was true more than anything when it came to valuing life. The family members have shared that they never saw him sit on the couch in their house. Life was too short to relax. I can say that over many years coming to visit, I never came to the house when he wasn't sitting at a simple table, piled high with svarim, with one of his black and white marble notebooks, writing his chidushim. For a tkufa, I would accompany Rebbe on his errands Erev Shabbos in town. Once in a while, he would get stuck in line at a store more than usual. And he'd come back to the car, and he would sigh with pain. And he said, Shemayim is telling me that I'm wasting my time. If I was using my time properly, this wouldn't have happened. This is someone who was carefully watching over the growth of hundreds of Talmidim, had his own starim, and even when terribly weakened by his final illness, had 45 chavrusas weekly with different Talmidim. The family has related that once after slipping unconscious for a day, he woke up, and rather than complaining about the physical pain he was in, he painfully mourned that he felt he had wasted a day of his life. I once heard about one of the great European mashkichim, it might have been Rabbi Rucham, that talmidim from many yeshivas would come from all over Europe to hear his shmuzin during Elul. Someone once said to him that bittul Torah, Bachim leaving the yeshiva that they're learning in the rest of the year, come for Elul, they're not really settled, they come just to get a shmuzin. And he said, little Torah, I don't know, but one thing I could say, after spending an Elul hearing my shmuzin, they will never have any hanah from Olam Hazeh the rest of their life. And there was an Israeli government official who, in his youth, learned in the European yeshivas, and later went off and was drawn to secular Zionism. And because of his path, he was helpful to the Haredim and the yeshivas. And there was once a Rashiv in his office, and he saw on his wall two pictures. It's a picture of this Mashkiach, and a picture of one of the early Zionist leaders. And he couldn't help himself, and he said, what shaykh is, how could you have these two people on the wall at the same time? And he said, they have something in common. This one took away my Olam Hazeh, this one took away my Olam Haba. Not every bacher who went through the Mechila over the years became a Shpitz Ben Torah. But I have no doubt that anyone who sat for 4 years on the Teller Shmuzin cannot go too long without asking themselves, am I wasting my life? Or am I using it properly? Rebbe's Musar was blunt and direct and often difficult to accept. Yet even those who put up the most resistance were moved and changed, even if it took them many years to admit it. Dvorim hayotzi min alev nichnosim alev. And every thought he shared with us flowed from every fiber of his being. Rebbe was notoriously tough, and the Bachim were terrified of him. for Tkufa, he drove, he had a big white car. I don't know if it was a Lincoln or a Buick, but it was the same thing that the police were driving at the time. When an unmarked police car would drive up Matt Wilson Lane, the Bachar would hide because they thought it was their tenant. And yet, as tough as he was, in getting his schmoozin, he would regularly stop and clear his throat and slowly shuffle back and forth, and he knew that he was crying. And whether he was repeating a vart or a story or an essay by Helen Keller, whether it was a yontiv or just a regular Friday morning shmooz, he was speaking to himself as much as to us, and he often found himself overwhelmed with emotion. I recently saw a story about a yeshiva who came collecting for his yeshiva to a big veer in Kiev. He came into the palatial mansion, into the foyer, and he took off his sopping wet coat, he took off his muddy boots, he fixed his jacket, he fixed his tie, prepared himself to go in. And he was brought into the room with his veer, and the altar from the vardak was sitting there with the veer. He was sitting there in this choshiva, big armchair, wearing his sopping wet raincoat, with his muddy boots sitting on the plush carpet. He was giving the balabas musar for being too busy with his business and not learning enough Torah. And the elder got up and left, and this Rashiva sat down and made his case for his yeshiva, and he got his check. And he looked at the check and he said, I have to ask, it's none of my business, but how much did you give the elder from the Varna? And he said, I'll tell you the truth, I gave him 10 times more than I gave you. And I'll tell you why. He comes in, he's not machshiv any of this. He's not machshiv, not the house, not the furniture, not the silver, not the art. It's garnished, hevel havolim. And he offers me the opportunity to trade that for nitzius, for Torah, for ruchnius. So I give it to him happily. You make me feel that my stuff is chashiv, so why should I give it? Rav Tendler wasn't an ascetic. Olam hazeh meant nothing to him. His furniture was as simple as could be, and as long as I can remember, nothing ever changed. His menorah was made out of copper. All the silver tchotchkes that people have in their brake fronts, he kept in a kitchen cabinet. His brake front held his true treasure, his children's chasnya pictures. A lot of people are busy with their car, and if they can't afford the latest model, like Elisa, Tendler drove second or third hand cars. And I think it's printed in the book that he once got a car, I don't know if it was new or new to him or new Bechlal, and he had it for a few days and then he was driving his old car and someone asked him what happened and he said he felt like he was having hana from it, so he gave it back. Even yeshivish cars, old people try to take care of it, whatever you could do with it, he tried to try to take care of it. I was once in the car with Rav Tendler and he was backing up, parking, and I said, Rebbe's at the curb. And he said, the curb will tell me when I'm at the curb. I smashed the car. What was the point? It was garnished. He was trying, I think he was making a statement. It's garnished. It gets me from place to place. I don't have to take care of it. When he would take the 12th graders matzah baking in New York, so he would take them to some Hamish deli for supper. One year the Bachrim somehow got him to go to Duggies. And if you knew Rav Tendler and you've been to Duggies, it's just your shit. I think it was the only time in the restaurant's history that somebody ordered boiled chicken. And though he was never heavily involved in getting balabatim to part from their money like the elder, but he achieved something much more profound. He was mashpia on thousands of talmidim not to make chasing olam hazeh the focus of their lives. Instead of an elaborate ceremony, graduation consisted of coming to Rav Tendler's office, and you get your diploma in a manila envelope together with a bracha / suggestion that you not use it too soon. He made sure we understood that this isn't what life is all about. Sports was a favorite topic of his. Really underlined how the world can make a big deal out of nonsense. When the world declared in a Kiddush Hashem that a frum boy was famous for being an athlete, he asked him to just striving for it yourself. I once asked him if I could go home for Shabbos for my brother's bar mitzvah, and he agreed, as he often did, al tnai, that I speak. And he told me what to say. And he asked, what's the pshat l'minig that we have a bar mitzvah bacher? I say a pshat, but what is the minig that a bar mitzvah bacher does to speak? What's that? I said, we're sending him a message that if you learn something, you grow, you achieve, and you value that you want to share that with others. and Rav Tendler's desire to spread MS went far beyond his responsibilities as the Menahem. He would often stop his Medrash Bachrim walking around outside the dorms in shorts if they'd forgotten their pants. He shared with the Talmud the conversation he had with a stranger sitting next to him on the airplane. Most of us try to avoid eye contact the whole time. This conversation started more or less with Rav Tendler asking him why it mattered to him if he lived or died before the end of the day. And after thinking about it for a while, the best answer he came up with was to feed his dog. But starting conversations with strangers on the airplane isn't the only way to share. He would ask, we say in Vidu, Yo'atz Nura, who's asking a 13 or 14 year old for Eitzah? He would say that the way we act, the example that we create, is an Eitzah. It's Mashpia. Rav Tendler developed the Mechina not just to produce B'nai Torah, but to help American Bachrim want nothing more than to be B'nai Torah. And that's a chinuch that not everyone gets, and not even every yeshiva Bachrim gets that. Our Rabbeim Sheyichyu were his shutfim throughout the years, and they continue B'darkoi and each in their own derech, which he cherished and encouraged. You're young, and it feels like you have forever in front of you. But I can tell you from my perspective, and I'm sure people twice my age would agree, life happens very fast. Your years in the Chinna lay the foundation for the Aliyah for the rest of your life. If you take advantage of what you have, you put yourself on the path for nothing less than godless. Appreciate the schus and use the opportunity.